Okay, relationships within Messiah's community, submitting to one another, and husbands and wives. There's more relationships that Rabbi Paul will deal with, but we'll have to wait until next week for those. Because of the fall of man, human beings are endarkened. They are confused about the most basic things, that there is a God, that he is a person with mind, emotion, and will, that he is three and yet one, Father, Son, and Spirit, that he created us in his image, that we join the rebellion of the fallen angels, that humanity is alienated from the Creator, that we are fallen creatures and now have a fallen nature, a sin nature, that the Jewish people really are the chosen people, that the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the divinely inspired and inerrant Word of God, no errors, that angels are real, that demons are real, that salvation from the real and deadly forces of Satan and the demons, sin and the sin nature, death and hell is possible. That Yeshua is the Messiah and the Son of God and the one and only Savior of humanity. That he came into the world, lived a perfect life, died an atoning death, rose from the dead, ascended back to heaven, is seated at the right hand of God the Father. That a day is coming when God will destroy this entire flawed universe and create a new and perfect universe, a new heavens, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. That heaven is a real place that can be gained, that hell is a real place that can be avoided. Human beings are confused about the most important basic things like these. Humanity does not understand God, does not understand human nature, or the way of redemption. In fact, people often don't understand the most basic things like the right way to relate to others. But the born-again, new-natured sons and daughters of God are different. We are not endarkened. We are enlightened. We know God. We know the truth. We treasure the Word of God. The Spirit of God lives in us in a very special way, connecting us to the Father and to the Son and to one another. We are members of an amazing community of human beings called out of a dying world, an eternal fellowship of shared values based on the truth. The Spirit of God lives in us and he empowers us to do what is right. We know the truth, we have the power to live out the truth, including the way we are to relate to others. In the first part of this letter, Rabbi Paul has been dealing with theological issues and spiritual issues. But in this part of Paul's letter to Messiah's community at Ephesus, the Lord's divinely inspired representative teaches us about some practical issues. Specifically, how to deal with our most important human relationships. First is our relationship to others in the community of salvation. It's to be characterized by an attitude of submission. Now, fallen human beings don't like to submit to others. Because of our fallen nature, we are self-centered, we are proud, we want to be like God, we want to control others, we want to dominate others, we do not like to submit to others. But the sons and daughters of God are to cultivate an attitude of not seeking to control and dominate others, but to submit. So, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, Rabbi Paul writes, "Submit to one another out of reverence, out of respect for Messiah." Submit means yield control to another. It's the attitude that says, you want to be in charge? You want to be in control? Great. You take charge, and I'll help you. I'll be your assistant. I'll pitch in and help you. That is such a different attitude from most people in the world who seek to control. Even those whom God has put in positions of authority in the community, like the leaders of the community, are not to be control freaks, but rather to have the attitude of servants, that their responsibility is to serve, not to be served. They're to be like Messiah, humble servant leaders. Because we honor Messiah and we respect him so highly, we follow his example. We submit to one another out of reverence for Messiah. That's our relationship to others in the community. Mutual submission. Next is the relationship between husbands and wives, another very important relationship. With so many people living together without being married, and with 40% of children born outside of marriage, and with a divorce rate at approximately 40 to 50%, and with confusion about what marriage is, with so-called homosexual marriages being increasingly recognized, we need to understand and embrace God's principles for marriage more than ever. Can I hear an amen or something? Amen. Yes, Rabbi Lauren, you're right? Okay. The sons and daughters of God share a tremendous unity. All of us, Jewish people and people from the nations, rich and poor, men and women, are members of one body, one great and eternal community. One spirit lives in us all. We are all called to one hope. We are all invited to live forever in the New Jerusalem as the honorable sons and daughters of God. We have one Lord who leads us, one faith, one core set of beliefs we all share. One baptism, one initiation rite we all experience. We have one God and Father of all, who's over all, through all, in all. And the supremely authoritative and beneficial fatherhood of God unites us. Even though the sons and daughters of God have a tremendous multifaceted unity, that doesn't mean that we are all equals with equal authority. It does not mean that God's design for male leadership in the family is done away with. It's not. Wives are to yield to the God-ordained control of their husbands. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Messiah is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church, which is the community of those called out from a dying world, submits to Messiah, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. This is one of the key passages on marriage in the Word of God. So some observations. The marriage relationship is a relationship between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, not a man and a man, or a woman and a man, or a man plus a woman plus another woman. The relationship between husband and wife is to be a married and fully committed for life, faithful relationship, not an uncommitted, no covenant relationship, separate or divorce when things get difficult kind of relationship. The relationship between husband and wife is not a relationship in which they have equal authority. It's a relationship in which the woman is submitted to the man, not the man submitted to the woman. It is a relationship in which the wife is submitted to her husband in the same way that she is submitted to the Lord. Her relationship to the Lord is one of subject and ruler. The Lord makes the rules. She obeys the Lord's decisions. She does not tell the Lord what to do. He tells her what to do. Why should a wife obey her husband in the same way that she obeys the Lord? Because God has designed the authority structure within the family with the same kind of authority structure that exists between Messiah and his followers. So Rabbi Paul goes on to write, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Messiah is the head of the community." Messiah is in control of us. He leads. He directs. Messiah's leadership is not shared with us as if we are equals with him. He may give some authority to some of us over limited areas of responsibility, but that's his decision, not ours. We do not equally share Messiah's authority. In the same way that we relate to the Messiah as our living Lord, the wife is to relate to her husband as her leader. The husband is the head of the wife as Messiah is the head of the community. The husband's in control. He leads, he guides, he directs. He assigns the various areas of responsibility to him and to his wife. Now, admittedly, it is not easy to submit, to yield control to a man who is selfish, difficult, mean, inconsiderate. That's not the kind of leader that Messiah is. He's the opposite. He is the savior of his body. He's the kind of leader who is a savior to his community. He's a good and kind and merciful and wise and courageous and selfless leader. He's the kind of leader who understood our greatest needs and at great cost to himself entered into a deadly battle to rescue us from Satan and the demons, from sin and the sin nature, from death and hell. He has our best interests constantly in his mind and is willing to act on our interests. That's the kind of leader who is a pleasure to submit to yield control to. And that's the kind of leader that husbands should be to their wives. In what areas should the wife yield control to her husband? Only those areas that she agrees with him? As the community of those called out of the world submits to Messiah, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. In everything, in spite of what our culture says. In everything, in spite of what the popular media says, in everything, in spite of what radical feminism says, in everything which includes decisions where they're to live, in everything which includes the responsibilities around the home, in everything which includes dealing with the children. Even if the wife is more talented or smarter than her man, and there are wives who are smarter and more talented than their husbands, he is still the God-ordained leader of that family. And it is her duty to submit to his leadership. A wife is to submit to her husband in everything, with the exception if the husband demands that she do something illegal or immoral. If he's asking her to do something illegal or immoral, then she must not submit to his leadership in that area. Her duty is to refuse. He's using his leadership to oppose the laws of God. And the woman is obligated to serve God even before serving her husband. God comes first. What if it's a case of bad judgment on the man's part? What if he's asking them to do something that she thinks is a mistake that will harm them? Well, she should talk to him. She should reason with him. If he still insists, she should yield to his leadership, unless it is something so seriously bad that she or the children will be put in obvious danger. Sarah called Abraham Lord and obeyed him even when he used bad judgment on several occasions. Today's women are to be no different from Sarah. What if the husband is physically abusive? Well, then she should separate from him until he can learn how to control himself. What if he's emotionally abusive? Well, if it gets bad enough, separation again is probably necessary, with the goal of him learning to relate properly to her and them coming together again and being reunited. What if he's ruining their finances by not working or gambling or drinking or doing drugs? Again, separation with the goal of being reunited after he reforms is probably what is necessary. God has designed men so that they want to be respected. Even if they aren't respected outside the home, they are to be given respect within the home. Yielding to the God-ordained authority of the husband and giving him respect is to characterize the woman's relationship to the husband. And God has designed women so that they want to be loved, especially by their husbands. Love is to characterize the husband's relationship to his wife. Husbands, love your wives, just as Messiah loved the church, the called-out community of salvation, and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant, called out community, like a beautiful bride without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Messiah does the called-out community. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Messiah and the community. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Husbands, love your wives. Many people today are confused about what love is and is not. Love is not the same as sex. Love is not the same as having romantic feelings. Love is the desire to help or do something good for the one you love, the one you care for. To help the one who is loved reach his maximum potential. That's real love. Husbands are to love their wives with a love that helps and nurtures and improves, helping her to be her best, just like Messiah did for us. Messiah loved the community and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her, to present her to himself as a radiant community without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Messiah loved the community with this kind of nurturing love, beneficial love, helping love. Husbands are to care for those amazing and mysterious and beautiful creatures that the Lord has entrusted to their care. To accomplish that, men are to know what is good for their wives, what is best for their wives. They need to study their wives and understand what their needs are and then meet those needs. If you genuinely love someone, you are willing to give up your time and your desires so that the one you love is taken care of. True love is by nature sacrificial. Husbands, love your wives just as Messiah loved the community and gave himself up for her. Messiah is the example we look to regarding love. Messiah loved us and became our Savior at great cost to himself. He gave himself up for us. He gave up the honors of heaven. And he became a weak, frail human being. And he endured the difficulties of being a human being. And he endured rejection by the majority of the chosen people. And he experienced injustice and torture and a horribly cruel death. That's how he became the Savior of the body. That's how he loved us. And that's how men are to love their wives, with the same kind of a gave himself up for her kind of sacrificial love. The same kind of sacrificial love that educates and elevates and helps her reach her potential and be as beautiful and holy as she can be, is to characterize the way a man loves his wife. Husbands are to be motivated to love their wives as they look to the Messiah and love their wives the way he loves us. But there's another motivation to love our wives, and that is the motivation of self-interest. The more we love our wives, the more we benefit ourselves. Husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. The one who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body. Normal people, healthy people, take care of their bodies. They don't hurt their bodies. They don't harm their bodies. They feed themselves. They wash themselves. They clothe themselves. If they're sick, they go to a doctor to get treatment. When a man makes that commitment and marries that woman, she becomes part of him. The two become one. They become basar echad, one flesh. They are no longer two separate individuals, but two individuals who merge together into a one flesh unit. They unite physically. They unite spiritually. They unite emotionally. They unite financially. If she suffers, her husband suffers. If she is unhappy, believe me, he will be unhappy. But if she's happy, she will make her husband happy. If she is spiritually and emotionally weak, she will drag her husband down spiritually and emotionally. But if she is spiritually and emotionally strong, she will encourage him and strengthen him to be the best that he can be, and she will be his greatest asset. So, out of self-interest, if a man wants his life to be better, he should love his wife. Doesn't that make sense? He should care for her. He should provide for her, protect her, meet her needs, nurture her, spend time with her, talk to her, do some of the things that she likes to do. Messiah treats those of us who are part of his community of salvation in that same loving, nurturing, beneficial way. Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Messiah does the called out community, because we're members of his body. Because of the activity of the three-in-one God, and because we have transferred our loyalties to the Father, Son, and Spirit, we have been joined to the Messiah. We are part of him now. We belong to him, and he belongs to us. He is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Therefore, because we are members of his body, he lovingly nourishes us and cherishes us and takes care of us. Husbands, you are to love your wife in the very same way. The Lord's divinely inspired representative then quotes from the Torah, one of the key passages about marriage, from Genesis. But his purpose is to teach us something tremendous about Messiah's relationship to us. Quote, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." In marriage, a man and a woman become basar echad, one flesh, a very close and intimate unit. But Paul is thinking about something else. He has something greater in mind than just the intimacy shared by a man and a woman. This is a profound mystery, Paul writes, but I'm talking about Messiah and the community. What's Paul saying? Instead of being far from God, alienated from the source of life, in rebellion against the high King of heaven, Messianic Jews and the redeemed remnant from the nations have the closest kind of relationship with the Son of God. Like the intimate relationship between a husband and wife, Messiah and us form a community, a unity, an intimate union in which life and love and intimacy and friendship are shared between us and Messiah. This is fantastic. We need to understand this amazing relationship, this precious relationship between us and the Son of God, one of intimacy and friendship and shared love and friendship. We need to value that relationship. Nurture that relationship so that it's always warm and close and alive. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. The two become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. I'm talking about Messiah and the community. Paul concludes his teaching on the husband-wife relationship with these words. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Again, men want to be respected. Women want to be loved. You want a great marriage? Husband, love your wife as you love yourself. Wife, respect your husband and yield to his God-ordained authority. Do this, you will have a successful marriage, a marriage that will form the foundation for raising healthy children, a marriage that will be a blessing to everyone whose life you touch, and your life will touch thousands of people, a marriage that will shine like a light in the darkness of a very confused society that does not understand anymore what a real marriage is. Amen.